Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We've been covering stories of students enrolled at for-profit universities who feel they've been scammed and the response to those alleged scams by the Department of Education. Last week, a federal judge in California ordered the Education Department to stop collecting on the loans of students who have attended schools run by the former for-profit college chain, Corinthian Colleges. Under the Obama administration, students who were defrauded by Corinthian were promised debt relief from their federal loans. Since then, at least 125,000 applications have been submitted for debt relief. But according to the Education Department's Inspector General, the Trump administration hasn't approved or denied a single claim in almost a year. Amanda Kulka is a former Corinthian College student from Boston, Massachusetts. She was enrolled at the Everest Institute and studying to become a medical administrative assistant. And she says the experience didn't match up with her expectations.
They promised me basically a better education, a better career, something that would set me up for life, take care of my son, that they would like handhold me during the whole education part and the internship, and then getting a job afterwards as well.
How much debt are you currently in, Amanda? Let's start there.
I believe about $13,000, and that's with interest. They had told me that basically they could get the loans to pay for everything, so I wouldn't even have to see anything. So they were basically saying that they could take care of that for me.
What did you understand that to mean?
What I understood was that basically everything was going to be paid from the loans. I wouldn't have to make payments, monthly payments, or have to buy my books or anything that was needed during the courses.
But you were expecting to pay them back because they were loans, correct?
Right, correct. But the way that they made it seem was that that was the only option. So later I found out that there was options that basically you would get the bill per month and then you would pay for it. I felt cheated because I didn't have all the knowledge that always should have happened before I signed those agreements.
And then in terms of the type of education you got, did you end up completing a program while you were there? And if so, what did you think of the quality of the education that you received?
I did end up completing and getting my diploma, my certification. However, the education that was offered, it was horrible. I had to teach myself. Like, they weren't supporting me in that education portion. According to their curriculum, half of the books wouldn't have been opened. I still have some of them not opened. I had to open them on my own degree just to learn the material.
When you say the books weren't opened, is it because they weren't teaching things from those specific books?
Right. It didn't match up, basically. What they were offering in the courses didn't match up to what books were offered to us. And then when it came down to the test, it didn't match up. So me having to learn from the test and basically teach myself what I was going to be tested on, but what also was all the aspects of the whole, of all the knowledge behind that, because it was a lot of things getting covered during the course of the 9 months, but it was like a week or 2 weeks on each subject. I didn't think that that was enough time to actually learn things and actually have it sit there and kind of know the job.
We want to turn now to Kirk Carapezza, managing editor of our partner WGBH's higher education desk in Boston, who's been following this story. Kirk, can you help us understand what changed from the Obama administration to the Trump administration when it comes to student debt relief and how that impacts students like Amanda?
Yeah, about a year after Corinthian, which owns the Everest Institute, shut down scores of campuses, the Obama administration promised these students full relief, that is, if they could prove that they were defrauded. And most of these students who've since applied for relief were attending giant for-profit college chains like Corinthian and ITT Technical Institute, which the Obama administration said failed to deliver on the education that they had promised students like Amanda. I remember visiting the Everest Institute right after the announcement came that the school was going to shut down, and I just remember students streaming out, and most were low-income young people from Boston. They shared very similar stories to what Amanda told us, that they were promised a high-quality education and a job, and they were encouraged on the same day that they visited the campus to sign up for federal loans. And now they felt like they were left in limbo. And now 4 years later, you know, we've continued to follow these students. Many of these students are still waiting for relief.
And they're waiting for relief because these were loans that were federal loans. I mean, the government okayed these loans for what? For institutions that hadn't been certified or for institutions that weren't really institutions of learning?
Yeah, no, these schools were certified. There was a larger creditor in D.C. that right up until the day that these schools shut down had authorized these schools to grant certificates and degrees. But the Obama administration, near the end of its time in office, determined that certain schools weren't living up to these promises, that they were lying about things like graduation rates and job placement rates.
What's the situation today under this new administration and under our current education secretary?
I think it's no surprise that Education Secretary Betsy DeVos deregulated the for-profit college industry basically as soon as she took office. That was not a surprise. And last year, she ordered the department to stop reviewing these fraud claims. And then earlier this year, she proposed a new plan pledging not full relief, but what she's calling partial relief based on earnings.
And from what we understand so far, the Trump administration has not approved or denied a single claim from a former student in almost a year. Were you able to get anything from the Department of Education about that when you spoke to them?
Not much. I mean, when I reach out to them for comment, they point to an Inspector General report from late last year that shows none of these claims have been approved or denied. The department declined to comment for our story because of this ongoing lawsuit in California. Attorney Eileen Connors with Harvard Law School's Project on Predatory Student Lending, and she's representing tens of thousands of former Corinthian students like Amanda in that California court case. And here's what she told me.
To pull the rug from under these people who have already been harmed in order to save taxpayer money, that's wrongheaded. The department's own analysis showed that the new method that they've come up with would reduce loan cancellation by 80%. It's a significant change.
And Tanzina, last week, a federal judge in California ordered the Education Department to stop collecting on the loans of other former Corinthian students and to continue the Obama administration policy that would basically completely wipe their debt off the books.
So under this federal judge order, Amanda Kalka might see the debt relief she's been looking for. But under President Trump and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, there's a current proposal for partial relief. It basically says that students like Amanda would be responsible for paying 70% of their loans. I asked Amanda, would that help? Would paying just 70% instead of 100% be sufficient?
No. I mean, if I got 70% worth of education, I could understand, but I feel like I got no education. It's taken me so long even to get into a repayment because it comes between buying food for my son or paying student loans, and I'm a mom, so I have to take care of my son first.
Our thanks to Amanda Kalka for sharing her story and Kirk Carapeza, managing editor of our partner WGBH's Higher Education Desk in Boston.